Okay, tonight we're going to be talking about how to become a fruit-bearing believer. Amen. And of course, we're talking about fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, praise the Lord. So, those of you on the internet should have an outline. And we're going to start with letter A. Why should you become a fruit-bearing believer? Bearing fruit of the Spirit. Number one, and God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing or producing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. So that was their food, okay? In God's kingdom, it's important to understand how that functions, that God doesn't do anything without a seed first, and then he reaps a harvest on it. But it has to be watered so it grows, right? And so in our lives, God wants us to do a workshop tonight. So those of you that have a pen or pencil handy, I'm going to give you a couple minutes to get one out. And if you don't have one, then just as we go through it, you can look through it again when you get home. But we're going to write on this sheet, on these sheets, and we are going to do a checkup to see how much fruit are we already bearing in our lives. Nobody look at your neighbor's paper. This is between you and God, right? Be honest with yourself, because if you're honest with yourself, then God could show you areas tonight of where we can improve. Now, my husband is a baseball fan. He's a sports fan. I'm learning more and more about baseball. And he says that when the season is over, then at the beginning of the next season, or whenever the guys go into spring training, they start working on their skills sets. Okay, and say you have the most valuable player, and he's really, really good at making home runs. He'll bat a ball, and as he bats it, it goes out of the park, and then he can run to all the bases and get a home run. And so he had to practice, though, to get there. You know, the first day he started batting, that wasn't happening, right? I remember I went miniature golfing the other day. I have to confess my sins before all men. Hope this isn't too loud. Is this too loud? My voice really carries. Okay. I will try to not get too excited so the microphone won't like scream in your ears. Okay. And so I haven't really miniature golfed, and so we all went and my husband says, okay, I'll teach you, do this, do that, you know, stand here, do that, whatever. And he goes, now take a swing. So it was my first hole. And I swung. I was so excited. And I looked, the ball was still there. I missed the whole ball. I didn't want to hit the green grass, well, which is really green carpet on, you know, putt-putt. So I didn't know how to gauge how far my golf club should go to hit the ball or hit the green carpet. Ask, what do you call that? You know, the false grass, fake grass. Not fake news, fake grass. Okay. So then the next time I swung, I did a little better and the ball actually went somewhere. You know, now I have to learn to guide the ball, you know, by where I'm standing or this or whatever. So see, as we as Christians are learning how not to sin, do you know the old English definition of sin? They would set up an archery a bullseye, and then the archers would try to get the arrow into the middle circle. And then who got it in the circle and got it closer to the middle would win. And then they would go and see how far they were and which one was the winner. But you know, if I had started, I would probably miss the whole bullseye first, you know, like I missed that ball, right? And when you have a miss, It's called a sin. When you miss the mark, you have sinned. And so what would be a remedy for missing the mark or sinning? Well, making your goal, right? Producing what God wants us to produce. So if I'm going to do well, I'm going to want to produce more fruit. If I want to stop sinning, I have to see more fruit being produced in my life to gauge if I am not missing my mark as much. Does that make sense? So whatever area I am weak in, I'm missing the mark in that area. So I have to have the Holy Spirit help me to develop in the area where I'm weak. So say you've got the baseball batter and he's a terrible batter and he goes to the batting cages and he just keeps batting balls. As that machine keeps popping out a ball, he keeps batting it. And then pretty soon he can guide the ball if he wants to go left field, right field, straight to the shortstop, bunt it, whatever. You know, am I doing good, honey, with all those baseball terms? If you don't know what that means, Google it. Anyway, it means that you become skilled. You become an expert. And so I don't want a happenstance, just operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because as we learn here at ABC, operating in the gifts of the Spirit are very important, but it's as the Holy Spirit wills for us to do that. But operating in the fruit of the Spirit shows a maturing Christian. So if I'm not bearing more fruit, my tree's not getting any bigger. My plants are little teeny-weeny buds. And so how am I supposed to help other people if I don't have fruit to offer them? Right? And how are they supposed to see Jesus Christ in me if they don't see Jesus, his character in me? Right? Okay, so those are some good reasons. Why should you become a fruit-bearing believer bearing fruit of the Spirit? Okay, we see you have to have seed and you have to produce it and yield it. Now, number two says, but I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh or the human nature without God. Now, this outline looks like it's really long, but it's really not. It's just because I really wanted to get the Amplified Classic in there, and there's a lot more words because it's descriptive. It gives us detail. God is in the details. It shows us exactly what the Lord is talking about. So some of us, you know, will be able to grasp a hold of seeing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. So with your pen or pencil, whenever we go through these and you see something that you're doing well in, you see that you've really been working on that area, you've really been developing, even if you haven't arrived where you want to arrive yet, because if you have and you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to RRB because only Jesus is perfect right now. But we're all wanting each other, encouraging each other to grow more in Christ. Amen? So God wants you to see how much you've grown tonight. He wants you to do that great checkup. Too many times the checkup is only, what'd you do wrong? And that's not the perspective tonight. Tonight the perspective is, let's see what great fruit you are bearing. And then we're going to see what fruit we need to water some more, right? Okay, so get your pens and pencils out or your highlighters, however you want to highlight. So are you, number two, are you living habitually in the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? Are you responsive to being controlled and guided by Him? Or are you doing your own thing, your own way? Or do you go inquire of Him a lot now? Even if you just do it once, is that better than last year? Is there some kind of improvement? Give yourself an underline and underline that or highlight it, okay? All right. Then you will not be gratifying the cravings and desires of the flesh. Okay, now, but if you're guided or led by the Spirit of God, you are not subject to the law. Now, okay, are you led by the Spirit of God, or do you still make a whole bunch of mistakes? And then hindsight is, oh, I should have asked God how to do that. Okay, then you don't want to underline that quite yet. Okay, but if sometimes you're doing it, underline it, even if it's not every time. Okay, now number four, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes is, so that's the quote, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the work of his presence within us accomplishes is, it doesn't say are, it says is. There's nine fruit, but it only says is, because it means there's one fruit, there's one Holy Spirit. But with nine characteristics or attributes of God. And five, the fruit of the Spirit demonstrates that you are growing in Christ. Number six, all believers have the potential to produce the fruit of the Spirit. So if you have a challenge in an area and you see, say to yourself, gee, how come I can't get better? Or I'm just going to give up. Or, you know, I see other people getting this, but I'm having a challenge. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit's with you. That's his job. Okay? You have the potential because the Holy Spirit's in you. All we have to do is keep watering by the washing of the Word of God, renewing and studying and growing and keep doing our affirmations. Okay? Don't be weary in well doing. Don't give up. Number seven, operating daily in the fruit of the Spirit shows a transformed, mature Christian. Now, anyone that's had a cranky day, a bad hair day, we have grace. But we don't want to have those every day because it doesn't show that we are operating the way Christ does, right? So we're going to have to want to change. Let's go back over section A. This time, if you see any areas that you need to improve in, you're going to circle it. And anytime you see a circle, you are now going to ask God to help you in those areas of improvement where you're not as strong as, okay? Where we're weak, God is strong, so he wants to make you strong in those areas. Let's go to number one, okay? Are you bearing or producing seed, which is the fruit of tree yielding seed? Are you always thinking about doing something kingdom minded? If you're not yet, then you need to circle that. How can I bless God and his kingdom? Okay, number two, are you walking, living habitually in the Holy Spirit? If not yet, circle the areas that you want to have the Holy Spirit help you in, being controlled and guided by him? Or are you still gratifying the desires of the flesh? I mean, when someone gets sad and there's ice cream in the freezer, do you hear it calling you and you want to just grab a spoon, a tablespoon, not just a teaspoon, and eat your favorite flavor? You might want to circle that. Okay? All right, let's see. Number three, if you're guided or led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Okay, how are you led? Are you led by the Spirit of God, or do you just want to be impetuous and do your own thing, then figure out you're out there without God and something bad happens, now you're saying, God help. Okay, number four, the fruit of the Spirit. Are you showing a lot of the nine characteristics? And if you don't think you are, we'll go through them individually. The fruit of the Spirit demonstrates that you're growing in Christ. Do you really think that you're growing? And, you know, how do you know that? Because other people say, wow, something's different about you. I think you're improving, you're changing. And if people don't make any comments, but you feel it inside, then underline it because you're doing good. If there's still areas of improvement, I might have to put an underline and a circle. means I have progressed, but I still want to work on it. So if you have underlines and circles, that's okay too. Okay? If you forget what everything is at the top of your paper, put underline, doing good. Circle, need to grow still. Okay? Or need improvement. And both is okay. All right? And are you operating daily in the fruit of the Spirit, showing a transformation in your life? Okay? Now let's go to letter B. What is the nine fruit of the Spirit, as we would find in Galatians 5, 22 to 23? So I'm giving you the ABC version of this. So if you're going, well, that's not what my NIV says, or that's not what my Amplified Classic says, it says part of it, or that's not what my King James says. Well, they've compiled what they believe is a good definition of all nine of these fruit. So love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, endurance and constancies, your patience, gentleness or kindness, goodness or virtue, faith, humility or meekness, and self-control, which is discipline and moderation. Let's look at the fruit of love. What is the fruit of love? Number one, A. And I'm going to read 1 John 4, 7 through 11, Amplified Classic. And we're going to do Bible study together. We're just going to read the Bible together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is or springs from God. As we're reading, underline if you're doing better in love. If you need more help in love, circle. If you are doing both, you're improving but still need help, underline and circle. Okay? For he who loves his fellow men or women is begotten or born of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize, to get a better and clearer knowledge of him. He does not love, has not become acquainted with God. Uh-oh. If someone has a problem with loving, it means you don't know God like you need to. Okay? I might want to circle that. All right? And does not and never did know him. Now, that's not me. I still want to become more acquainted with God, though. Okay? Because the more I draw closer to God, the more I see I need to get to know him more. He's so multifaceted, right? Okay, so four, God is love. Shouldn't we be demonstrating his love to others? And so if we have cranky hair days, that's not demonstrating love. And so therefore, I might have to put a circle around okay. And in this, the love of God was made manifest, displayed where we are concerned, in that God sent his son, the only begotten or unique son, into the world so that we might live through him in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us so very much, we also ought to love one another. If you've ever gotten in a fight with somebody, that wasn't showing love. Okay? If you get annoyed at somebody, if you get offended, then we weren't walking in true love. Okay? We have a long way to go, don't we? But we're doing good, because before, when we look at our pre-BC days, our pre-before Christ days. Lord have mercy, I don't think anybody could have loved a lot of us. But God did, hallelujah! And he still saved us, right? And if there's somebody unlovely and we shun them, we should remember that God didn't shun us and extend love to that person, okay? All right, let's go to B. And we know, understand, recognize in our conscience of, by observation and by experience, and we believe, adhere to, and put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes. Wow. Cherishes for us. Cherishes something very special to his heart. Okay? You're cherished by God. Ponder on that for just a second. Even if we blow it, even if he sees all the mistakes and errors and dumb things that we did in the past, God's not dwelling on it. You repented. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. Every time you think about it, you're going fishing and getting that thing back up out of the quagmire and the yucky stuff. No, leave it back in there. Let it be forgotten. He doesn't have Alzheimer's. He chooses not to remember anymore. And we shouldn't either. So if someone did you wrong, and that person walks in the room, and all of a sudden there's a, look at that person. How dare she come around me? You're remembering a past sin. That's not true forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't only saying it with your mouth. It's in your heart and its actions. I've had to go up to people who have offended me so highly, and nobody knew what they did. But they should have been put in jail for what they did to me as a child. And I forgave them from my heart. And I went up there to that person, said, Jesus loves you. And I prayed for that person to get saved, get delivered, because I don't want to see them go to hell. When you get to the point where God helps you, because it only could be God to help me, to not have hardness in my heart and not be so angry and so hurt and so shamed and so people wanting revenge. I don't know what that means. I've never wanted to have revenge. I've never wanted to get somebody back. What does that help you do? You know, and get out any bitterness or resentment or hurt in our hearts. That's the love of God. It washes us. God's love sent his son to give his life and change himself for you and me. Could I then forgive a perpetrator as much as Jesus did to his killers? And said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave them all his murderers. He forgave them all. All that hurt him and all that weren't there. He forgave the sins of the world. Then we need to grow in that kind of love. So those of you that just underlined and had no circles in that area, are you at his level? I'm not yet. But I'm getting there, and I want to get to be more like Jesus and God, who gave so much. He let his son leave heaven. He let his son be separated from him because of the sin. He let his son change his deity, his being, to be morphed into another creature to make a way for us. Are we willing to sacrifice everything we are, not just what we have, for Jesus, and love the person that offended you regardless of the offense? Now, if someone's an abuser, you shouldn't be around them because you shouldn't allow them to continue abusing you. Let me make myself very clear. Get away from the abuser, but in your prayer closet, you can pray for them. But I happen to be at a function where the person walked in the door. Hadn't seen them for years. It was a test. My heart jumped with fear. I was learning to overcome fear because first thing I thought of was abuse, ding, ding, ding. What do I do? Right? And the love of God took over my heart. Instead of fear gripping my heart, perfect love casts out all fear. The love of God came to me and said, it's okay. You are now walking in the Lord. You now have the Word. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the angels of God that protect you. Nobody can abuse you anymore. No one can hurt you. But show and demonstrate that love. And I was like frozen with fear. I was so scared. Like, oh my God, what if they talk to me? I don't want to say something awful to them. You know, all that came out was Jesus loves you. You know. That shows what we put in ourselves. When you're at a place of a high challenge, what comes out of you is what was put in you. That's why we can't get ready for the end times in the end times, because we need to have automatic pilot by then. You know what I'm saying? So this is why we're doing a checkup tonight to see how much more do we need to grow. And have we truly forgiven those people that have done us wrong and asked Jesus to send laborers in the field to minister to every person, because he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And they're a result of demons that had did things to them in their lives and caused them to do these wrong things. I've heard of stories of convicts that woke up in the prison and, you know, people have been in prison can attest to this. And a lot of them wake up and they didn't know they killed somebody. They were told by their attorney what happened and the remorse that came on them because of the rage that took them over and they did something horrible, or they were in a DUI. And I don't know why this is, but if you see this, a lot of the DUI drivers don't die, but the people they crash into or around them do, because the demons want to keep using them, so they don't let them die. And then they wake up in the jail, and then they're told what happened, and it's horrible. But you know, God turns around prisoners and sets the captives free. Amen? Hallelujah. He helps them get rid of those demons. He helps them give their life to Jesus. And now they let the Holy Spirit guide them and lead them and control them instead of be controlled by demons. This is why ABC is so effective, because we preach the full gospel, not part of the gospel. We want to see the entire person, spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body, be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to judge you. Whatever happened in your life, Jesus loves you. If you are a Jesus lover, if you are truly a believer, then God doesn't see that sin anymore. That man is, and or that woman is dead to sin, alive to Christ. Okay? So we have to see ourselves now as who he sees us. Don't let the lying devil bring these lies to your mind. Look what you did, you failure. Look what happened. You can't ever improve. No. Paul did so many terrible things. He was a terrorist. He made sure Christians were hunted down and killed. And Jesus still chose him. Hello? Forgave him. And if he didn't write the majority of the New Testament, where would we be? But in his heart, he knew he wronged no man, because he's not that guy anymore. Crucified with Christ at the cross. We are new creatures. You've got to look at yourself as a new creature. You've got to look in the mirror and say, no, that person doesn't exist anymore. Devil, when you're bringing up the past thoughts, I am just going to put you under my feet and keep you buried with that sin at the cross, because I've been resurrected with Christ Jesus, and I'm born again, made new. It's a do-over. Hello. You know, when the teacher has something on the board and erases it, it's gone. Your sins are gone. You had Jesus paid the price. You allowed him to do that. He did it, and you allowed him to give you what he did. You received what he did. You allowed him to touch your heart. You allowed him to come and be your Lord and Savior. You allowed that. Okay? So, wow, praise the Lord. Okay, that's God's love. All right? Now, God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. See, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is and never boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. Do you have any challenges of jealousy or boasting? It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. Do we have any challenges in these areas? Let's circle them. It is not rude. Have you ever been rude or unmannerly? Do not act unbecomingly. Love and God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Do you pay attention when someone does you wrong? It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless and under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Love never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. And as for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease because we won't need them anymore. And as for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. D, page 2. If I can speak in tongues of men and even angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I'm only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, it's good to be educated in the word of God. But, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, some people boast about that, but have not love, then God's love is not in them. So we got to have balance, okay? Do it with the right motive, because you love God, not because you want to boast. I am nothing, a useless body, even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, and in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. 4. Love endures long and is patient and is kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. 5. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. I think I'm underlining every line. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes and is ever ready to believe the best of every person, even the ones that were really rotten people. And if they got saved and God is turning them around, let's give them time to turn around. Let's support them in prayer instead of talk bad behind their backs. Okay, love bears up under anything and everything that comes and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. 8. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete or come to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. And as for fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect, our prophecy and teaching, etc., etc., you can... Let's skip down to 12. For now we're looking in the mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, because we're all asking God to perfect us, we shall see in reality and face to face. God wants us to look at this worksheet as a mirror. Let's see how much of Jesus is in us, okay? Now I know in part and perfectly, but then I know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner that I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And so faith, hope, and love abides. Faith, conviction, and the belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love is true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. And these three, but the greatest of these is love. And E says, do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him, as it says in 1 John 2:15, Amplified Version. And of course, we know that when the scribes asked Jesus what was the first commandment of all, in Mark 12, 29 to 31, he said, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second commandment, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, no other commandment greater than these. See, we have to love other people. That's very important. However, if we don't learn to love ourselves first and allow God to change the things that are unlovely in us, as we are depicting in this worksheet, then we can't effectively love our neighbor more because we're demonstrating bad fruit to them. And they're going to say, I don't want to serve your God. Remember what Mahatma Gandhi said. He would have become a Christian if he never met one. It means he read the Bible and believed that it was true and believed in Jesus. But when he saw the human representatives of Jesus who were around him, they demonstrated really carnal, awful, disgusting characteristics. So he didn't want to be like that. He didn't want to be a hypocrite. So he didn't become a Christian. Okay, so why did I spend so much time in love? Because that is the first and greatest commandment. Okay? Now, two, what is the fruit of joy? A, without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious triumphant heavenly joy. And at the same time, you receive the result, the outcome, the consummation of your faith and the salvation of your souls. And B, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. If you have weakness in your life, then you need to do more affirmations. The joy of the Lord is your strength, because the Satan comes to steal the word of God, comes to steal your faith, comes to steal your joy. Then weakens us. We don't want that. So number three, what is the fruit of peace? A, peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated, cowardly and unsettled. It means you can stop being intimidated. You could stop being fearful. You could stop being cowardly and agitated. It means we could choose to ask the Holy Spirit to help us learn to do that with patience. B, I have told you these things, that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and daunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So your peace has to be focusing on Jesus, not on North Korea, not on ISIS, not on hurricanes, because he is with you and your mind must be stayed on him. Okay, let's go to C. Do not fret, which is the next page. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot, of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Number four, what is the fruit of patience, long-suffering, endurance, and constancy? A, living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility with meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love each other or one another. B, we pray that you may be invigorated and is strengthened with all power according to his might of his glory to exercise or practice every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. Oh, I have another trial. You should say instead of, oh my, hallelujah. Why? It's another opportunity to see another praise report. If you don't have that attitude, the devil's going to defeat that Christian every time, okay? All right, so let's go to C, thank you. Here comes in a call for the steadfastness of saints, the patience and the endurance of the people of God, those who habitually keep God's commandments and their faith in Jesus. Five, What is the fruit of gentleness or kindness? A gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up. Next fight, practice the gentle answer. It'll work every time. B, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So when someone is fighting and escalating, the way that you pour water on fire is a gentle answer, okay, and gentleness. 6, what is the fruit of goodness or virtue? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, according to Psalm 23, verse 6, which means that people will go out of their way to do good things for me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray it that way every day. It's amazing how things happen. B, a good man or woman out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And C, so then on occasion, an opportunity opens up to let us do good morally to all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, those who belong to God's family with you, the believers. D, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore, not beat him up with your words, get mad, and speak behind that person's back. Doesn't say shun him. These are people that truly want to change. Now, people who don't want to change and just drain the church is a different story. And restore and reinstate him or her without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. 7, what is the fruit of faith? Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things that we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. B, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling in your innermost being and personality. May Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. May he grant you out of the rich glory of his treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man of the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling in your innermost being and personality. C, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So faith works with love. D, next page. Here comes in a call for the steadfastness of the saints, the patience, the endurance of the people of God, those who habitually keep God's commandments and their faith in Jesus. 8, what is the fruit of humility or meekness? When swelling and pride comes, then emptiness and shame, disgrace also come. But with humility, the humble, those who are lowly, who have been pruned or chiseled by trial and renounced self, are skillful in godly wisdom soundness. Be living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing one another and making allowance because you love one another. See, the rich man's wealth is his strong city and a high protecting wall in his own imagination, conceit. Haughtiness comes before disaster, but humility before honor. He who answers a matter before he hears the facts, it is folly and shame to him. C, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. E, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, then he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins and dismiss our lawlessness and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will or purpose, thought, or action. And that should be 1 John 1:9. Sorry, there's a typo. True humility is being humbled enough to not only ask God for a forgiveness for our sins you have committed, but also forgive yourself. Because if you don't forgive yourself, you are allowing the devil to tell you you're still the old person, and that's not true. In addition, if possible, prayerfully consider apologizing to the person or persons you may have offended, even if it was unintentional. Then ask him or her to forgive you. And if you've offended anyone, it's a good recommendation to consider saying the words, "Please forgive me. I apologize that I offended you." Many people just let it slide. That's how you reconcile yourself to your brother or sister. Now, when someone asks forgiveness from you, it is a good recommendation to say the words to them, I forgive you for offending me, so they know that you have forgiven him or her. 9, what is the fruit of self-control, discipline, or moderation? For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue or excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence. And in exercising or practicing knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercise or practicing self-control, develop steadfastness and patience, endurance. And in exercising or practicing steadfastness, develop godliness, piety. And in exercise godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising or practicing brotherly affection, develop Christian love. That's our goal. B, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Everybody knows 2 Timothy 1:7, but I love the Amplified classic. He did not give us a spirit of cowardice, of craven, of cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a calm and well-balanced mind that has discipline and self-control. That's what a sound mind means. We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us grow in self-control. Here's a prayer that many people aren't praying, although you're asking the Holy Spirit to grow in the fruit. But if you're not praying an affirmation prayer, how can we grow in it? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's watering the word of God so we grow in the fruit and bear bigger and better fruit and demonstrate more to people. So this is one affirmation that could help you. You pray it daily. Let's pray it together right now. Let's say, in the name of Jesus, in accordance with Galatians 5, 22 to 23, I operate in the fruit of the Spirit every day because the Holy Spirit helps me to produce more fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, and self-control. And God wants everyone to know here that he's very pleased with the fruit he's seeing that you are producing, and he wants to help you produce greater fruit to glorify Jesus in your lives. Amen? Yeah. Love you.